Let's pray. Gracious God, I thank you for this beautiful day and these beautiful people. Now I ask that you open our hearts to you and our minds, our souls, our entire selves. Open us to hear you speak. So you speak through me and have my words be your words. And may all the things I say, all the meditations of my heart and the words of my mouth be acceptable in your sight. You who are our Lord, our strength, and our Redeemer. Amen. Anybody here ever been a child? Anybody here a child again? How about anybody here still a child, never grew up? Jimmy Buffett had a song, had a line in it, growing older but not up. I'm 16, maybe 15. Anybody ever say to you, you know, would you go back and meet 20 years old again? I say, sure, as long as I could keep up here what I have up here. I'd take a 20-year-old body again, but I wouldn't take a 20-year-old mind again. When we were growing up, at least physically, I say, some of us are kind of mentally attenuated somewhere. When we were growing up, you know, we were pretty much ignored by our parents. We really were. Mom said, okay, go outside and play. Come back when it gets dark. Right? Maybe it was when the streetlights come on, if you lived in a civilized place that had streetlights. Sometimes they'd say, where are you going? Johnny's. Okay. Never asking who Johnny was, where Johnny was, what you were going to do. It wasn't that they didn't care. It was just okay. Because you were safe in the neighborhood, you know. Other people were out there looking out for you. Not a problem. Now, this is even back in the day when some people, I don't know, anybody here not have a telephone when you're growing up? We had a telephone, but it was a party line. Party line, you know. So it was sometimes hard to get through. So even if Mom knew where Johnny was, it might be hard to find, get hold of Johnny because, come on, Matilda, you know. It's fast forward a little bit to maybe the 80s, 90s. Anybody here raising kids then or maybe playing with grandkids then? You ever been around those kind of children? Or been responsible for those kind of kids? Maybe babysitting? Back then, when we were raising kids, we had something called stranger danger. You know that expression? We trained youngins to be wary of everybody. It got to the point where we even told them to watch out for the cops. Used to be, when we were kids, you had a problem, go find a policeman. Go find a fireman. I'm not talking about the crazy defund the police people here, but people started being wary even of the cops. I'm a chaplain for the sheriff's department here, Charlotte County. We got some really, really good officers. I've never met a bad one. Jail's a different story. But the guys on patrol, gals on patrol, they're okay. People started helicoptering parenting. You ever heard the expression where you hover over your kids? You know where they are every moment trying to keep them safe in a hostile world? Annoys the kids to no end. Leave me alone. You ever take out kids in public? Go shopping or something? Go to the mall, go to Publix, whatever. You turn around and they're gone. Because of that, people have taken to leashing their little ones. They push little dogs and strollers and they put leashes on their kids. And there's something not right about that. Kind of dehumanizing. But if you do have a little kid disappear while shopping or on the playground, what happens today? Immediate panic, right? BB gun for 3 seconds. Immediate panic. You start hollering names. Pull out your cell phone. Again, forget the times when we didn't have phones or like I did with the party line. Grab your cell phone. Maybe get the cops involved. Now the cops are good guys again. But it's a horrible experience, I'm sure, to have a kid go missing like that. Even if the kid's playing, maybe playing with grandma. We're going to play hide and seek. We're going to hide from grandma. You ever had that happen? Now, things in the first century were a lot more like they were when we grew up than they are today. When Jesus was growing up, mom didn't care. Jesus was 5 years old. She probably said, okay, go out and play in the streets. Come back when it gets dark. Didn't worry about him because all the other moms were doing the same thing. And the kids were hanging out. And Jesus probably had it kind of hard growing up because of who he was. They would have all known that he was a little bastard. You know, and the legitimate children were not treated as well. He probably grew out of that. But here is Luke is telling us the story of a Passover when Jesus went with his folks, and he's 12 years old. Jesus may or may have not been a child. At the age of 13, 12, somewhere around there, they go through a bar mitzvah. And the boys would stand up and declare, today I am a man. And guess what? They were. They might be this tall, weigh 80 pounds, and still had a lot of growing to do, so they wound up looking like Dean. Maybe even like me, probably more like me, because I would have been tall back then. But Jesus may or may not have been a child. At 12, I'm betting he hadn't gone through a bar mitzvah yet, and he was still considered to be a child. But Luke makes no point of any problems, any difficulties with Jesus misbehaving or anything during the Passover. But then they leave, this whole caravan of friends and relatives. Now, even though Mom and Dad wouldn't have been concerned about little Junior running around on the streets playing with the other kids because they were home in their neighborhoods or maybe in Jacob's neighborhood. I didn't worry about you going out doing that. But we're going from Jerusalem to Nazareth. Wild country between here and there. You had animals. You did have bad people. So everybody went together in caravans. Everybody knew each other. Going to a small town like Nazareth, they were all related, or at least were friends, relatives, kind of things. So they head out. Everybody, let's go. Maybe they couldn't count. Maybe they didn't bother to count. Just figured everybody was together, and they left. And Jesus stayed behind. Nobody missed him. He's probably kind of a quiet kid, don't you? Mary and Joseph thought he was over there with Fred and Martha, and Fred and Martha thought he was over there with Don and Shirley, you know, whatever. But they go about a day and they get ready to camp for the night, and Mary and Joseph want their son with them in their campsite. Who knows about their other kids, but you know, Jesus is not here. So they start looking for him. Everybody thought he was with somebody else. Not unreasonable. And they started panicking. The word they use for search in the Greek is anazeteo. And anazeteo is an interesting verb because it doesn't mean just looking. It means looking, searching diligently with the idea, with intensity and thoroughness. Do you remember the parable Jesus tells about the woman who lost the coin? She tore her house apart looking for it. I mean, just went nuts. That's the kind of thing. They were looking for Jesus. 3 days it took them. Jerusalem's not that big of a town. Anybody ever been there? Even today, it's not that big of a town. I've been there. Walking around through the old city, not that big of a town. They finally, after 3 days, look for him in the temple. Surrounded by a bunch of old guys. You know, 40, 45 years old. Old guys. Long beards, fancy outfits. And he was teaching them. 12-year-old kid teaching a bunch of old guys. That doesn't happen in the first century. Again, kids were ignored, like we were ignored. It was kind of seen but not heard. And when you have the leaders in the temple, the scribes, the teachers, you know, the rabbis, listening to a 12-year-old who is sitting down, which is important. Because what happens is, I'm a rabbi in the synagogue. I read my piece of Torah standing up. And then I sit down to teach. Sitting down is a position of authority. And Jesus is sitting in the position of authority with all these authoritarian people. Even at the age of 12, people recognize something about him. Remember that. Keep that thought in your head. People recognize something about him. But his mother, notice it's all on Mary. It's not wait till your father gets home kind of attitude. Anything ever happen to you with that? You do something and it's, I got to pick an engaging. Can you wait till your father gets home? No. Mary rebukes him immediately. Maybe Joseph's afraid of him because he's not his real father. Which is true. But he was Jesus' daddy. Don't forget that. Joseph and I have been Jesus' father, but he was his daddy. Joseph didn't catch enough credit by anybody. But his mother rebukes him. And this is kind of surprising, but Jesus kind of smart mouths her back. Where'd you expect me to be? That's a side of Jesus we don't normally see. Okay, yeah, fine. 20 years later, he busts up the temple, gets a whip, chases people out of the temple. Remember that also in your life, that turning over tables and whipping people is sometimes an option. What would Jesus do? But here, he kind of backtalks his mom. Well, where'd you expect me to be? In my father's house. And they didn't get it. Mary and Joseph, they didn't get it. But Jesus left the old guys and he went home with them. And this could just be a story about an errant kid, even Jesus, who wandered off. But Luke tells us a little bit more in the middle part of his story. The actual time Jesus spent in the temple. 3 days. Oh, how long was Jesus in the grave? 3 days. What did Jesus say? You destroy this temple and I will rebuild it in 3 days. Jonah was in the fish. 3 days. Interesting, isn't it? The Trinity is three. Three is one of the magic numbers of Scripture. 3, 7, 12, 40. These numbers appear all the time. They all have significance. Jesus in 3 days. And he's in, as I said, in conversation with the top guys. The scribes, teachers, they were probably the Sanhedrin, the courts. Sitting down, a boy, and I said he probably wasn't a man yet. If he had gone through a bar mitzvah, if he was 13 or 14, this story might be a little bit more believable. I'm not doubting it. But it would make a little more sense if he was 14 years old and had been bar mitzvah and he was a man. But he was a child. And he was astounding them. And that word astound is, well, what was it that astound you? Something very much out of the ordinary. And you'll say, well, of course he astounded him. He was God. Yeah. When Jesus was born, did he know everything? No. Because he reduced himself when he came to earth as a human being, and he had to learn stuff. Did Joseph teach him to be a carpenter? Yeah. Was Jesus born knowing how to be a carpenter? No. Because he was truly human. Don't forget that. Remember that. He was truly God. But to be who he was, our Savior, the Christ, he had to experience all of life, which meant learning. I'll touch on that again in a minute. But these wise guys, these wise men who had studied Torah all their lives, the only thing that mattered to them was the study of Torah, which is the first five books of the Old Testament, really, and then the prophets and the writings. But they didn't reject him. They paid attention to him. They listened to him in spite of his youth. Again, Greek for you, the word listen is akouo, and it primarily means to listen or to hear, not just the fact of hearing, but understanding, comprehending. In our day today, it's, God, I hear what you're saying. Or, I think I hear what you're saying. Or, what I hear you saying. You ever heard anybody say that? Or done that yourself? When, you know, what I hear you saying is, and I say that because I'm not quite sure what he means. So it's kind of a more polite expression than, what? Or, are you kidding me? Huh? Oh, is that what it is? All right. You got that selective deafness thing going here? Yeah. But it's that kind of a hearing. You're in college and you're there in school and you're sitting in an auditorium listening to a professor. And hopefully you're doing more than just listening to the professor. You know, you're taking notes and you're remembering and you're learning. That's what these guys were doing. They were astounded earlier. And they listened to him in spite of his youth. Because even if he had gone through a bar mitzvah and he was a man, he was 12. How much experience could he have had? He was 12. From a little hick town, Nazareth. And Jesus was teaching them things new, or at least from a new perspective, a new understanding. You gotta remember, Jesus never, ever changed Scripture. Jesus never twisted Scripture. There's two very wonderful words in preaching. One is exegesis, one is eisegesis. Exegesis is when you take a piece of Scripture and you read it and you explore it and you create a teaching or a sermon from that. Hopefully that's what I do. The reverse of that is eisegesis, which is when you say, I think this, and then you go to the Scripture and try to prove it. You ever hear these preachers that'll read one line of Scripture and they pull in 18 different lines from different places? That's what they're doing. It's called proof texting. You can do that to some extent. But Jesus was teaching them new things or a new perspective. Because even though he was 12, and even though he wasn't yet fully himself at the age of 30 when he started his ministry, he was still who he was. And these things were different to them. They were astounding. They paid attention. Have we forgotten that? For ourselves? Have we forgotten to listen to Jesus even when he was young? Have we forgotten that Jesus quotes Scripture? Several times, he quotes from the Psalms, and he says, have you never read, this is a challenge, almost like what I hear you saying, have you never read from the mouths of children and infants you have ordained praise? 12-year-old, and later on, doing ministry in his early 30s, and he's saying, listen to the kids. Listen to the new. You don't change the old, but you listen to the new. Or you don't get rid of the old. But you have to change it. You know what happens when you don't change? You die. You die. So what do we need to do? As older than 12. Anybody here older than 12? I'm younger than 12 millennium. What do? We need to open ourselves every day to the newness of Scripture. Something really odd, when I went to prepare for this morning, I realized that I don't think I've ever preached on this passage before. I have a favorite commentary series that Andrea and her mother and Dale, her sister, gave to me back when I was in seminary. And I picked up the copy of the Book of Luke that in that series. I had lots of passages highlighted. This one wasn't caught. I don't think I ever mentioned this before. And I saw all kinds of new things in here. I've just shared some of them with you. Maybe they're not new to you. Maybe they are. But we need to see what this new stuff is. And we need to apply it. Not some of this way out, left field, wacko, heretical stuff. Where you say, well, this is what I want to do, and then you find the text. Back when we were in college, Andrea had a sorority sister who used to quote a piece of scripture justifying her going out and getting drunk at parties on Friday night. She said, man should be drunk. That's half the verse. The rest of it is with the Holy Spirit. And the word shouldn't be translated drunk. It can be, but, you know. Proof texting. Yeah. See, man should be drunk. That means I can go out and get drunk. That's all right there. You gotta be careful. But we gotta be looking also for what's going on in the world. We gotta stay away from that stuff that's made up, that is against Scripture. Paul says to test the spirits. You have to test Scripture. You got to test your interpretation. You come up with something, but yeah, that's not a bad idea. Where'd you get that from? Oh, it's right here. That's not what it means. Sure it is. It might mean that in English, but you go back and look at what's written in the Hebrew or Greek. That's not what it means. So what do we need to do? First, you heard about a three-point sermon? I got four things to say, then I'm done. Believe it or not. First, you need to listen to him. First thing we need to do is listen to him. Not just listen, but hear and obey. Just like Jesus went back and obeyed, submit. As parents, we need to obey and submit and hear to Jesus. We need to pay attention. You ever seen the movie Michael? One of our favorite movies. In there, Michael says, I pay attention. So we need to pay attention to Jesus. Second, you don't shut yourself off from the past to embrace something new just because it's new or sounds good. But we need to meld a new understanding of something, a new perspective with the experience you attain as we get older. And never get old. Get older. I will never, ever be old. I will be older. I refuse to be old. Again, Jimmy Buffett, I'm growing older but not up. I'm growing older but not old. Don't grow old. Don't become old. We need to explore and exploit opportunities that we see in Scripture, the newness of things. We need to look around at the world and say, how can we take this and give it to them? What's our job? Every single one of us in here has the same job. You're not going to like it. Evangelism. Every one of us is called to be an evangelist. Doesn't mean going on the street corners preaching. Doesn't mean getting up in front of a stadium of 80,000 people. It might be. It might be your neighbor. It might be your son or daughter. You know, whoever. You need to live that life. Third, put Jesus back in the center of your life. Just like those old set in their ways guys in the temple. They were old guys. They might have been 40, which was getting up there. Sitting around Jesus, with him sitting down in the center, and they would listen. That's what we need to do. But then beyond that, you need to live it. St. Francis said, you may be the only Bible anybody ever reads. You've probably heard that before. That means that you listen. Pay attention, and you obey. And live out his goodness, his gospel. when Jesus came and was talking about the gospel, and he did, Jesus used that word. In Greek is euangelion, and it means good news. When Jesus was talking about it, he wasn't talking about Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He was talking about Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, Kings, Jeremiah. He was talking about that, and the promises God made. That was Jesus' gospel. That was Jesus' good news, and we have more. We have the fulfillment of that. And finally, we need to be and to live authoritatively. As a little bit ago, Jesus was not fully cognizant of everything in the world as he was growing up, just because he was God. He could have been. But remember, God chose not to do that. Chose God to become a servant. But he still lived authoritatively, sitting in the seat of authority amongst all these old guys who really were the authority of the day. These guys he was teaching, and they were asking questions of him. Not. It wasn't like, Steve, what do you think the weather's going to be like tomorrow? Not to get my information, but when Moses was in the wilderness and he struck the rock, how did that really anger God to get the water? Okay? They were asking questions like that to get deeper answers. I mean, they were, it was real stuff. And they were asking him, you wouldn't ask a 12-year-old kid that. Probably not ask me that. But you have to live authoritatively, like you are who you say you are. And don't be afraid of the negative consequences that might come. I said, all of us have the job of an evangelist. Maybe you have a sister that's not a believer, and you're afraid to talk to her about Christ because she might get mad at you. I knew a guy, his name was Bob Anderson. He had a friend for 50 years. He told me, I've always wanted to invite him to church, but it never happened. I said, why not? He said, well, he might stop being my friend. I said, Bob, ask him now. I said, that's on him if he stops being your friend. He said, but I can't. I said, why not? I said, well, if I ask him to come to church with me now, after 50 years of knowing this guy, this is in Minnesota, by the way, he said, after 50 years of this guy, he'll say to me one of two things, either, well, church is such a big deal, how come you haven't asked me before? Or he would just say no and get mad at me. As far as I know, Bob never asked a guy to come to church. But you have to be unafraid of those consequences. I call it the I don't care. I do what I believe is right, and I don't care what happens. I get in trouble a lot. Not with God, with people. But you have to live a life that glorifies Jesus above all else. And pay attention to the wisdom of the young. The scriptures are thousands and thousands of years old, but they're very young. Pay attention to that wisdom that's in there. And no matter how old in years you might be, the scriptures might be, someone who's teaching you or talking to you might be wise yourselves and listen to what they're saying. Submit to the word of God. And obey. The only one who is Lord, and that is Jesus Christ. So grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.